This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Patty Trunks from Stephenville, Texas, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for October the 2nd, episode 1011. This episode is brought to you by Road to the Horse. Good morning, Horse World.
Founded by Tootie Bland and her late husband, Stephen, Road to the Horse has grown beyond what they or anyone else involved in its humble beginnings could have ever dreamed. This unique competition brings together three of the world's top trainers and clinicians, where over 2 days they will gentle a horse in adjacent round pens while thousands of fans relish every moment. Combining education and entertainment, Road to the Horse is truly a one-of-a-kind event.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us on this Thursday morning. And, of course, it is Road to the Horse Day here on Horses in the Morning. Tammy joins us on the first Thursday of every month. Good morning, Tammy.
Hey, guys. How are y'all doing?
Good. And how are things down there in Texas?
I'm not sure. I haven't really spent a lot of time in Texas. I've been showing all over the country with the horses, and I actually am in Texas right now.
Well, that's good. You're home for a couple minutes.
Yeah, for about an hour for the show.
And I did want to tell you, Tammy, we do, just as a side note here, we do have a chat going in Skype. So if you want to check that out. And we have a fun show. Well, God, you have a lot of guests planned for today. It seems like everybody that works for Road to the Horse is showing up today.
Well, all the techie people anyway, which is not me, obviously.
And what we're going to do is, that is what we're going to do. We're going to be talking tech today, a little bit about what goes on behind the scenes. For people who've been there, they know it is a production. It's not just a couple of guys out in round pens, training horses. There's a whole show that goes on around it, and we're going to be talking to your music engineer. We're going to be talking to the host, and we're going to be talking to your director of photography. So we really are getting behind the scenes at Road to the Horse today.
We are. We've got a lot of great people, and these are all the people that make everything happen that the fans don't really see or don't think about. But there's a huge camera truck parked out the back, and there's Casey with the music who has everything planned out by the second, and it's so much information that we don't even think about. We just watch the show, so this will be a great look behind the scenes.
Now, coming from a radio geeky perspective, I'm really interested to talk to Casey, who is your music engineer, because they play music all day long, and he has that. I just don't know how he manages to put all that together and get it to come out in order. So I'm hoping I can get the secrets.
And he always has the perfect song at the perfect time for the perfect mood or emotion. He's got a good memory.
Yeah, I had a ton of songs in the can waiting to go.
Uh-huh.
It really is impressive when guys like him can do that stuff, and then you could just bring it up at the drop of a hat, literally. They can have the song that fits the scene and the mood, and it's right there.
Yep. I don't know. I think they have a gift, that's for sure.
And I think that we probably underplay a little bit the importance of music at Road to the Horse, but it is a very important part of that weekend. It would be mighty boring without the music.
Yeah, it really helps the mood and the emotion. And, I remember at Road to the Horse, Glenn, last year or a year before, I was taking photos for Facebook for Road to the Horse, and I'd run down and take some pictures and run out and put them on Facebook. And, I remember Guy McLean standing on the platform with his colt reciting his poetry, and I had tears rolling down my face, and I thought, I put my camera down, and I was so stuck into the moment of that I really wasn't working. I was just enjoying the moment. And that's kind of Road to the Horse for you. It's got so many of those moments in it that you just, you get lost. And I was like, Tammy, snap out of it. You got to work mode here. You know, keep going, work mode. But it is a journey, and music definitely plays a huge part of that.
Well, we'll be also talking to Karen Page today. Tell me about Karen.
Karen, we're really excited to bring the Madam Shooters into... Well, the only thing I'm not excited about, Glenn, is I'm going to be so busy, I'm not shooting.
Oh, so there's going to be mounted shooting at Road to the Horse?
Yes. There's going to be mounted shooting at Road to the Horse. And actually, Stacey Westfall, who is a past champion of Road to the Horse, she's coming back with her winning Road to the Horse mount to do a little bit of mounted shooting with the group. So that's going to be really exciting to see one of our graduates of Road to the Horse come back and help in the demonstration for mounted shooting. So that's super exciting.
Well, Stacey Westfall, of course, has her own fan base because of a certain ride that she did. It was probably one of the most watched horse videos
yeah.
ever, and probably still is. I'd have to take a look at that sometime and see what it's up to, but it had to be one of the most watched horse videos
yeah.
of all time.
Can you do something about it, Glenn?
She's been a guest, and she's so much fun. She really is so much fun to have on.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to talk mounted shooting a little bit. That's going to be interesting, adding that noise into – will the horses in training be out of the building at that point?
Yeah, they will. They're tucked away in the back by themselves, and we put most of the mounted shooting on Thursday and just a little bit on Friday and Saturday, so it's not – kind of too noisy for the horses or the people. So the majority of mounted shooting will happen on Thursday, and then the finals and little go-rounds will be Friday, Saturday. So Karen will give us more information on that. But, yep, it's going to gonna be a little loud in the Altec Arena for a little bit.
Now, and Thursday, is it still free tickets on Thursday?
That's something that's not finalized. Last year it was free to the public, but there are no tickets for Thursday. So it's going to be a great day to come check out Road to the Horse if you don't have a ticket.
Very good. So it's just kind of open seating on Thursday.
Yeah, if you've got tickets, they are valid for your seat. So, you know, you do have a ticketed seat for people who have bought tickets. But the people who haven't, it'll just be help yourself. So.
Cool. Very good. Well,
yeah.
We do have a lot of things planned now. A couple of weeks ago, to start the show here, we at Horses in the Morning heard from Tootie Bland, of course, who is the founder of Road to the Horse and the big boss. And she said, I got to come on the show because I have an announcement to make. And I took about 3 minutes of that recording, Tammy, and I thought, well, you know, seeing that this is the Road to the Horse episode, there's people that probably missed that announcement a couple of weeks ago. So this is about 4 minutes long, and why don't we let Tootie tell us about the big news over the last month?
That's great.
All right, here we go.
And
the big boss over there at Road to the Horse, the founder and chief cowgirl, is Tootie Bland, a friend of the show's. And she requested an audience earlier in the week and said she had some big announcement to make for Road to the Horse. I have no idea what it is. Good morning, Tootie.
Good morning, Glenn.
Tammy was all mysterious when she said that you needed to talk. So I don't know what this is about, but I assume it's about Road to the Horse coming up to Kentucky Horse Park in March of 2015. And so what do you got?
Well, we have a little change in our format for 2015.
Wait a minute, Tootie. Okay. You changed it this year because instead of $10,000, you were giving away $100,000 to the winner.
Yes.
That was one change. Okay.
Yes. Uh-huh.
You're making it
second
a billion?
Change. No, okay. But wouldn't that be fun, though, honestly? I might enter at that point. And probably so would you, Glenn, right?
I learned how to train horses really quick.
Yeah, well, you know, we're all students. We have a change. Because of that $100,000 and because we have such wonderful contestants with Chris Cox and James Anderson from Canada and our wild card contestant, whoever that might be, which is fun, I thought it would be very good and interesting, and especially for the horse lover, is this year we changed the format on Road to the Horse. So my big announcement is instead of one horse that these guys are going to get to train, we're going to double that up, and we're going to give them two horses for them to train. So we're going to have an average, actually, with our Road to the Horse this year. So it's your cumulative score on two horses instead of one.
You're going to make Chris Cox work hard.
I am. I think Chris Cox should work hard.
Now, did you ask him about this before or after?
No, I don't ask those guys.
I didn't think so.
They all got to find out, just like you're finding out. So it will be a little bit of a surprise to them. But there is some method to the madness here, and that's basically the fact that, you know, I think it's wonderful how Road to the Horse has been, and we get to see their horsemanship and their training skills and their programs on one of the great AQHA Sixes horses. So it was interesting to me, especially with $100,000 up, and especially with the fact that we have a three-time undefeated champion. I mean, Chris Cox has never been touched in this event, that we would double this up, and they would have to choose a horse, as they always did, and then go back into that herd and choose a second horse. Because you and I both know that there are no two horses alike. And each one of them have their own personality. Each one of them have their own acceptance to training and timing. And I just think it is really a true testament to their horsemanship to watch them train two horses with different personalities. And so that's what we're going to do.
Well, Tammy, that was Tootie Bland, who is the founder of Road to the Horse, and she was on our show a couple of weeks ago to make that announcement. Now, did Chris Cox quit, or is he going to do it?
Oh, no, everyone's on board, Glenn. So I'm super excited to see a couple of horses out of each clinician. It's going to be interesting to watch them work with the different personalities and how they react with each horse, you know. So I'm very interested in this.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see who combines them in the final show on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
One of
them's
going to get clever and want to do something with both of them at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
That should be interesting to see, too. It adds a whole new element,
yeah.
To it.
Oh, you know, Tootie, things are going to be different.
I love what
she
said.
Really,
oh, no, I don't tell those guys anything.
No, she's pretty quiet about things, so I'm excited about this two-horse format. So it's going to give the fans a lot of horsemanship and a lot of different personalities, and it's just going to be a great addition to the event.
So not only are we kicking up the horsemanship, the training of horses on this Road to the Horse weekend, we're also kicking up the show end of things with the mounted shooting and the other things that happen around the training.
Yeah, it's going to be great to have Stacy come back. And I was really excited to see the one on Bander, which is an entertainer in the rodeo industry. He's going to come back.
Oh, he's coming?
Yeah, he's coming back next year. So everyone's super excited about that. So that's going to be great.
I haven't seen him in years. I mean, years.
Really? Yeah, he'll be there.
Yeah. The one-armed bandit. He's the guy that brings that works on top of the trailer, right?
Yes, that's the guy. The guy with one arm, obviously.
Right.
But
he also
has
a crowd
favorite.
The buffalo or whatever, and he brings him up on top of the trailer and all that stuff.
Yep,
that's him. I'm excited to see him. I'm dragging Jennifer along this year. She doesn't like to leave Florida much, but I'm dragging her along this year because I think that she'll just absolutely love it. I think anybody that is really into training horses should see it at least once.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to make sure we get her to go along.
She's got to come.
Introduce our first guest for us. Casey is ready.
Great. Well, make me introduce Casey. I have problems pronouncing his second name, Glenn. But welcome
Deardorff.
To the show, Casey. Is it Deardorff?
Deardorff?
It's Deardorff, yes, ma'am.
Oh, good. Yeah, I am not the best at pronunciations, that's for sure.
It's okay. I've had trouble with it for years.
And you don't even have an Australian Texas accent.
Yeah. I'll just say it really quick.
Right.
So, Casey, you are the music engineer for Road to the Horse. You are the one
music
that
director,
gets us all
yes,
in a happy mood, all excited, and that's a huge responsibility.
Yeah, it is. I didn't realize I was that keeping you guys that happy, but hey, I'll take it. Thank you.
I do. I walk around Road to the Horse a lot, and I get a lot of comments. And I actually get messages and emails into Road to the Horse asking who does our music because everyone likes it that much. So you're more popular than you know.
Man, that's huge. Thank you.
Well, Casey, we were talking about earlier how really it would be very dull without the music. I mean, you're there for 3 or 4 days, and you're sitting in a seat in the arena, and you're watching what's going on. It is interesting to watch them train the horses and everything, but without the music going on all day, and if the music sucked, it wouldn't be as good a show for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I agree. It's definitely something that is it's a longer type of event that I'm. A longer event that I'm used to working, usually, you know, at professional bull riders events or PRCA rodeos like I'm at this weekend, usually it's about a 2.5-3 hour show at the most. And, but it's definitely a challenge. It's definitely a lot of fun. I really like it when I'm forced to actually do some work, but shoot, you really don't have to work too hard because the product there is so good that everybody is just super, super huge fans that it just is, wow, it's crazy easy. But it's a blast. It's a
mm-hmm.
blast for sure.
So how does someone become a music engineer? Were you just one of those kids that was constantly, I was going to say on your iPod, but I don't know if they had
that. Did you say how do you become a music director?
Yeah.
Well, I rode bulls up until about 2007, and it was kind of an accident how I got into this industry. A friend of mine that I had downloaded a whole bunch of music when I was in college because around then was the first time we got high-speed internet, so I went crazy and got a bunch of music, and I was just always a music fan, and I'd given him all that music, and he approached me during the Fort Worth Stock Show. I got on my last bull there in 2007, and he asked me, and I got injured, so therefore I was sitting in a medical training room, and he said, man, well, since you're not going to be riding bulls anymore, he says, what do you think about maybe filling in for a couple of shows at the Mesquite Rodeo this summer for me? And I went over there, well, I told him at the time, I was like, oh, yeah, sure enough, how hard could that be? And
yeah.
Boy, I was wrong. But you know what the crazy thing is about it? I went and did it, and it was one of them things that, you know, I mean, it took the place. It filled the void of me not riding bulls anymore. It was nervous. I mean, I was nervous, and it was, I mean, there was just so much that I had to control in it. And it was
mm-hmm.
it was just wild. It was just so fun, and it really intrigued me, and I fell in love with it right away, and I didn't get enough of it that summer, so therefore I went bought me a little sound system and hit the trail.
Hey, Casey, you haven't broken a bone since, have you?
I have not broken a bone since then, thank goodness. Oh, my Lord. Yes. I mean, this is a very, very healthy job, and I'm going to for sure get a check when I show up. That's what I love about it, too.
Yeah, well, that's true, too. I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
You mean you're not
yeah.
sleeping in your truck anymore?
Well, I never did that anyways. I was never one of those types of guys. Probably why I didn't make it riding bulls very well. But, yeah, I didn't sleep in my truck much. Wouldn't build those threads. So.
Well, we got a note from Judy Bland, and she said to us, she was talking about you, and she said you did happen to fall asleep on an aeroplane once. Do you know about that?
The very first time I was on my way to, it was actually Murfreesboro, Tennessee is where we were heading because it was there at the time. And I don't know what was going on, but I had some sort of sinus infection and got on the plane and put my Bose headphones on where I can't hear anything, fell asleep, And I didn't realize that it was one of those flights. I didn't look at my ticket, that I had to just sit there on the plane once we landed and then stay on, let everybody get back on, and then go. So I get off of the get off the plane and go to, you know, baggage claim and everything, and I'm like, I go up to people, and I'm like, my bags aren't here. And they go, well, your final destination says, you know, Murfreesboro, or Nashville, I guess it was, where we were flying in. I don't remember what it was. And they were like, well, you're in Montgomery, Alabama, or something. And I was like, oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. So, but we got through it. We got through it. I did. I was freaking out.
That's funny.
But, hey, you know, as yes, sir?
I was just going to – I just wanted to geek out with you for a minute here. So being a radio guy and everything, how obviously you're using the mixing board to control the sound and everything, but how do you quickly come up with the songs that just so perfectly fit the scenario at the time? I know you have some of the stuff planned for the shows and things, but you play a lot of impromptu stuff too. How do you have it there? Do you just know what songs you have in there? You know, how do you do it?
Well, in all honesty, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that that is just go-to stuff that I use all the time at other events. So luckily, it's just one of them things. But the thing about it is, in order to use it properly at those events, you gotta watch all the. I mean, it's a never-ending job. Even though there's nothing playing, I'm still standing there watching the guys, listening to what they're saying. You know, trying to figure out if there's something where I could fit the situation, and whenever that time does come, and if I feel it's appropriate to take a shot, you know, without messing anything up or, you know, taking anybody's attention off anything, then I take that shot and try to give the crowd a little giggle or whatever that, you know, the case may be. But I have a lot of that stuff, you know, that I've thought about for years and years and years that I have laying around, and I see the opportunity and I take it. Basically the best way I can put it. But we have a program in our computer that a lot of us, well, that most of the music directors in the Western industry have, called Sport Sounds Pro, that is a rapid fire program, and all you got to do is click the button and it goes. You know, we don't got to wait for Windows Media Player to load up or anything of that nature. So I definitely got pages built and stuff like that before.
I was wondering about that, because every time we go to play something on the show, we always have that second delay, you know? Sometimes that second delay is a big delay. It can change, you know, everything you were trying to accomplish.
I'm telling you, seconds are crucial in production. Seconds. I'm talking about, like, if they say stop for 30 seconds, like right in the middle of the opening for something crazy, it's an anxiety attack for us, because it's just, I mean, seconds are so crucial in all that, in getting the crowd, you know, sucking them in, and you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you're saying. It is very important.
Yes, sir, especially at a live event.
Yeah, because everybody notices that the music isn't on cue. It's something that you kind of instinctively know the music was late, you know, or early. Either one. Yeah. You know that.
Sir.
So do you edit the songs down to the pieces, just the pieces that you want, or you have the whole song in there and you know where to go to in that song?
Well, when I first started doing music, I would put it in a program and chop it and edit it and put it in my computer. But now that this program has they've done the updates and stuff on it, we're able to, like, cut it into a certain point and end it to a certain point, just wherever you want, just click it and go. You can put the whole song in the program and then you just edit it in the program, and it's so beautiful. It's so much better than... So much better than doing each individual song, and then, you know.
That's a good question.
Yeah, a lot less time consuming too, I would imagine.
Oh man, I'm telling you. I'm telling you.
What's the hardest part of the job?
Do what?
What's the hardest part of the job?
The hardest part of the job? Are you talking about my job in particular or the
yeah,
job at
no,
Rodeo
your job
Horse?
In particular. Your job in particular.
You know, that's a really hard question for me to answer because when you love what you do, nothing is hard. You know, I mean, I love setting up the speakers. I love, you know, seeking out and editing the music. I love the thrill of the live event and seeing my product work. I mean, there's nothing about it that is hard.
That's when you know you're in the right job.
I absolutely love it. Yes. I mean, I'm very, very blessed to do what I do. And yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, I could never look at it in that aspect, you know.
Well, Casey, how many songs do you have on your computer? I just got to ask.
Oh, wow. Okay, on my computer, there's got to be over, I mean, if you can think of, if you buy a basic iPhone with like 12 gigs or how, whatever the littlest iPhone is, you can only put like maybe, oh, anywhere about 3,000 songs, whatever, something, I guess. And, but I have in my computer alone over probably 100 gigs of music. I know that sounds ludicrous. I probably use less than 10% of it, but that mm-hmm. is how much music I've collected over the years that lays in each one of the laptops just in case I need it. But in my actual program that I use during live shows, at any time, I have access to about 8,600 songs. That's how many songs wow. it holds, and it's full.
Wow.
I've kind of a music hoarder. I need to go through and clean some stuff up and kick the old stuff out. But, man, it's really hard pill to swallow when you're sitting there thinking, dang, and I could have used that, and I deleted it the other day. So, you know.
No. Oh. Now, is there a special license you need to play those songs publicly, or is that just permitted? I mean, is there anything you got to be careful about with legal stuff?
There are, absolutely. And what the thing is the uh-huh. event has to take care of that. Like, at the PRCA, they, you know, the association has a blanket coverage with all, uh-huh. all the different licensing, and the PBR does as well. Mm-hmm. And Tootie Bland does as well. She has all the rights to everything that is, you know, uh-huh. played at Road to the Horse. So, you know, that gets us taken care of without us getting in trouble, thank goodness.
Yeah, I was wondering about that.
Yeah, that's a very good question. That's a very good question. Absolutely.
Well, this has been good talking to you, Casey. I'm always excited to speak to a fellow geek about this kind of stuff. So,
I know it.
I'm going to have to stop up Road to the Horse and say hi and see your setup there. I'm going to have to check it out.
Absolutely. And anytime you guys want to have me back on, we can cover more stuff. I don't mind at all. Had fun talking to you guys.
All right.
Thanks,
so, thank you, Casey.
Great. Great to have you on the show.
Take care.
All right.
Hey, do you have a website?
Thank you, guys.
Do you have a website for yourself?
I don't, but
no?
But you can find me on Facebook. My name's Casey Deardorff, CaseyDeardorff. You can go on there and follow my fan page. It's Young Gun Sound, Casey Deardorff. And then I also have Instagram, which is at Young Gun Sound as well. So if you want to go on there and see all the pictures and follow me through my travels and all that jazz.
That's great.
And,
he's the first cowboy I know that had an Instagram.
All my friends have an Instagram. That's the deal going right now. I think Road to the Horse has one now too.
Yep, we do. Yep. Road to the Horse is on Instagram.
Yes,
you know,
when I started this
online radio network 6 years ago, nobody in the horse world knew how to listen. Boy, how things have changed since then. We couldn't explain to people how to listen.
Well, things have changed. Good.
Yep.
You know.
Thank you, Casey.
Well, thank you, guys. Yes, sir.
All right.
Tammy, thank you for having me on as well.
Oh, you're welcome. See you in March.
Okay.
Bye.
What a nice guy. What a nice guy.
Yeah.
Can you imagine having that many songs and then remembering, you know, a lick in a certain song that you want to play for a certain thing and being able to go to it instantly?
Ugh. Yeah, I'm glad you asked him all those questions, Glenn. They were great questions because I'd wondered about whether they programmed the song to a particular point and how they always get to that point, you know?
I know. And actually, I just brought up, he uses, and I knew that the stadiums like hockey games and football games and stuff use this Sports Sounds Pro. And I just brought it up and I was looking at it as we were talking. So I was kind of geeking out looking at this. So
yeah.
I'll have to check it out. I've never looked at the program. It looks like it'd be fun, though.
Oh, I bet it'd be so, fun once you get over that learning curve.
Exactly. I think the hard part is, as he said, is constantly watching and knowing, you know, what's going to fit, you know, and you're looking for lyrics that are going to fit the situation. You've got to remember what all of those lyrics are in those songs to find, and then immediately be able to go to the spot in the song. That's just practice there.
Yeah, it is. And I think it goes back. It was really nice to listen to him talk about his passion for that, because I really feel like that's when you do a good job, when you're somewhere where you just love every single minute of it. And really, you know, that's something that's crossed the Road to the Horse team as a whole. You know, everyone is so passionate about their jobs and the horse and making the world a better place for the horse. I think that's something very unique to Road to the Horse.
So now tell me, while we're waiting for our next guest, have you you've been out showing? How's it been going?
I have. I've been showing my new horse. Well, she's not my new horse. She's my backup horse, because everyone knows Handsome and had shipping fever in Tennessee and was very ill. So he's doing much, much better. And I've been taking my number two horse around, and she's been winning for me. And, you know, it's just, it's been great, Glenn, because, I mean, when I win stuff on Handsome, my main horse, it's good, but this is a horse I've shown for over 10 years, and you should be good, you know.
He's been a world champion many times. There's nothing surprising there when he wins.
Exactly. And when you take a young horse and you go look at it and you buy it and you see the potential and you take it home and you train on it for years and you see that talent in it and you work hard and you bring it back and you take it to a show and you're nervous because you're on your number two horse and then you win, that's a whole different feeling. It's like a brand new drug addiction, you know. I'm very proud of my mare.
For new people who are listening today, we have a lot of new people that have joined us here in the last couple of weeks. Tammy is a world champion mounted shooter, been doing it for many years, since you got here, pretty much almost since you got here from Australia, and lives in Texas, and she showed me her wall one day at the place you lived there in Texas for a long time. You had that wall of belt buckles, and she has about 150 of them. Now it's probably more. But it was just this wall of beating silver belt buckles, and amazing accomplishments. And speaking of mounted shooting, we have our next guest ready to talk, and she's a mounted shooter too.
I know. Yeah, we'd like to welcome Karen Page to the Horses in the Morning. Karen is the CEO of MSA, the Mounted Shooting Association, that's coming in to perform and demonstrate the sport of mounted shooting at Road to the Horse. So good morning, Karen.
Good morning, Tammy. How are you doing today?
Good, good. It's great to have you on the show.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been sort of a whirlwind couple of weeks here. I'm just getting back from our world championship that we held down in Fort Worth, Texas. So it's been a little crazy, but I was excited that you invited me on.
Yeah, we have to talk about your world championships. You have to tell Glenn that it was a cowgirl who whooped all of the boys for the world championship.
Oh, really?
Let's talk about that for a little bit. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
us ladies were doing pretty good here. It's definitely, you know, mounted shooting is a sport that attracts both male and female competitors. And these past few years, we've really seen the ladies step up and push the men aside. And so congratulate Tammy Billingsley for winning our world championship. She's out of Darby, Montana, and she had a real good showing this year. Just just barely beat out Chad Little for the world championship title. And of course, Chad has quite a few titles from past championships. But yeah, it was quite exciting.
What is it with girls named Tammy and guns? Apparently, it goes together.
There's actually quite a few Tammy Mountain shooters.
All of them real good, too.
Hey, guys, if you're still in the dating pool out there, beware of girls named Tammy. I'm just saying.
Thanks, Glenn.
You're welcome.
So that's great news for the girls to go kick the Cowboys for the MSA World Championship. So tell us a little bit about what you have planned for Roads and Wars 2015. What's the format going to be for there?
But we're real excited to be a part of it. It really brings mounted shooting out there to a whole new audience. You know, mounted shooting's been around for quite a few years now, and it's sort of in a real growth phase right now. And so for us to be able to bring our all-star team, what we did was in our world championship, we created an all-star team. And the all-star team is made up of our top 10 competitors, and then the top competitor in each division, so that we don't just have the best in the sport, we also have some of those that are real good but are newer to the sport, to sort of show people that we have all different levels of shooters. You don't have to be able to get into the arena and run like a bandit and shoot everything straight and look good and be great. It is a process. You get started in it and you get more experience and you work your way up. And so part of our all-star team are some of those newer riders who are working their way up, yet they did win their division at the World Championship here with the MSA. So they are at a good level, but they're, a little bit newer to the sport.
Yeah, and tell us a little bit about, you have a special guest coming to join the team as a guest for Road to the Horse, and it's a past Road to the Horse champion. Tell us a little bit about how Stacy's going to be a part of that team.
Well, we're real excited to have come on board with us. Stacy, of course, is very well known to the Road to the Horse community for winning that competition a few years ago. And her horse, Popcorn, is her mounted shooting horse. So Stacy took Popcorn from Road to the Horse, continued the training, and turned Popcorn into her mounted shooting horse. So Stacy will be with us at the event. She's going to basically be telling a lot of stories about Popcorn and her adventures getting into mounted shooting with Popcorn. And, I think having a clinician of Stacy's level, so well known to Road to the Horse, is really going to show people that, look, you can do this too. And Stacy's going to have some great stories and fun things to share with everyone about her adventures in mounted shooting. So we're just thrilled to have her as a part of the MSA All-Star team for that event.
You know, I've been seeing a lot more people, that even just friends of mine on Facebook that were into other disciplines, and you said about the growth spurt, it seems like everybody right now is wanting to try mounted shooting. It has to be a growth spurt because I'm just seeing it everywhere now.
Well, it's thrilling. We always come give it a try because we know once they ride that horse once and they shoot that gun at those balloons, they're hooked. Because talk about being a cowboy. You watch all the old black movies.
Exactly.
And they're carrying those guns and they're feeling good. And you get out there and you're able to do this. And, what a thrilling feeling. It's a huge adrenaline rush. And it just, it's really, really cool. And people get hooked. And I think that we're looking for other things to be able to do with our horses. And it's nice to add that variety in. Mounted shooting is one of the other options, and a lot of people are giving it a shot. So.
No pun intended.
It's easy to throw those in,
Yeah. and I would think, too, other disciplines are having trouble right now, and some of the big disciplines even, are having trouble right now getting kids involved and, trying to get There aren't as many horse kids, number one, as there used to be. And they're having trouble getting kids into the different sports, dressage and some of the others. Man, this has everything a kid wants, right? I mean, they get to ride a horse fast and shoot a gun.
You know, it really does. And this is a family sport. There is a division for kids on lead lines. So, you know, a lot of families travel to these competitions.
Wait a minute. I have this picture of mom out there holding the lead line and the kids shooting at mom as they go around. I assume the balloons are on the outside of the circle. I'm just saying.
And the young children don't carry the real firearms. They can use cap guns or dry fire pistols once they get to a certain age. But what it does is it teaches them to compete. It gives something for the children to do when they go with their parents to a shooting event. So it is a true family event. The whole family can come. The younger children can be on lead lines. The older children can ride in our Little Bandits or our Outlaws division, and they can actually ride the course and get down the horsemanship piece of it. Because it's not just going out there and firing guns at balloons. And by the way, we are shooting black powder blanks. There's no projectile.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, it does have that safety factor. But still, the younger kids get out there, they ride the course, they get the horsemanship piece down. And then when they're ready to actually handle the firearms, they can do that and start shooting. So there is those developmental levels as you go up. And this year with the MSA, we've added in an apprentice level for the adults that are working on putting it all together so that they can ride the course and then shoot from the ground. Because there's a learning curve with this. And we don't want adults to feel like, well, I can't compete until I can have my horse trained and I'm able to shoot off my horse and that's going to take forever. We say, look, if you're working on it, come, start working on the horsemanship piece, get that down, shoot from the ground, and then when you're ready, you know, go ahead and do it. A lot of people a lot of people that are older are looking to get into the sport, but they may not be ready to do it all. So they may have the firearms down, or they may have the riding down, or they may actually have both down, but they haven't put it together yet. And so we don't want to rush people. We want to give them time to get comfortable. And so we say, come, compete, work on the course management and getting that down. Work on your shooting from the ground. Get your horse adapted. Get comfortable. You can compete at an apprentice level, and then when you're ready to put it all together, then you do that and you start competing by firing, off your course. So
that's all new. That's great.
Yeah. I think it's a good way to really open up the sport to more people and not have it so intimidating to start.
Awesome. Yeah, good job.
Well, speaking of opening up to more people, before we run out of time, I do want to you to help people. If they want to get started, first of all, is it an expensive sport to become involved in?
Well, you know,
assuming
the
they
start,
have a horse and they know how to ride, okay? Let's assume that part already. If they're listening to this show, they probably do.
the most expensive part is going to be the firearm. But as you get into the sport, go to a clinic. People at the clinic will let you use their firearms, let you use their holsters, so that you can find what really works for you. Because there's different grips, there's different firearms to use. And so if you get a feel for that, and you know that you like it, which you will the first time you shoot, but it gives you time to get used to that, and then you purchase the firearm. That's really the most expensive part. The dress, the shirt, cowboy hat, we all have those things anyway. Some people do get into the Old West dress, the nice fancy stuff, and you can do that if you want. But the firearms, and they're going to range in price depending on what you go with.
But and I know that the local club here in Florida, you can go out for the first time. Jennifer went out, I think. You can go out for the first time, and it's free. They'll let you try it. They want to get people involved, so they're encouraging you to come out and give it a try to see if it's something that you want to get into. So I think there are more and more of these local clubs all over the country, and finding one of those is probably the best way to go, right?
Exactly. If you go to our website, which is newmsa.com, newmsa.com, we have up an event schedule so that you can see upcoming clinics. We have a list of our affiliate clubs so that you can see if there's something near you. And then if there isn't, but you want to get involved, give me a call. My phone number is right on the website, and we can talk about getting you set up with a club. It's easy to do. And get some clinicians in to help you get started. So it's easy to get involved, and we're certainly here to help you do that.
Very good.
Well, I appreciate you guys having me here. We're just so excited about the Road to the Horse competition. We've got a great all-star team. We have representatives from Canada down to Florida, Arizona, coming all across the country, and all different ages. We have Colonisu, who is a teen, all the way up to Roy Cox, who's in our senior division. So the age range is varied. They come from all across the country, and they're just great representatives of our sport. So we really look forward to being there. And then, of course, with Stacey Westfall being there, past Road to the Horse champion, it can't get better than this, that's for sure.
No, it's going to be great. It's going to be great. So thank you, Karen, for gathering up an all-star team for the Fall Road to the Horse. We're super excited to have the Mounted Shooters join us in 2015, and it's just going to be a phenomenal event, so I can't wait to see you again there.
Yes, we look forward to it, too. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks, Karen.
You know what? It's going to kill you, Tammy, that you can't be out there shooting. You're going to get twitchy and shaky, and that's what's going to happen when they're out there.
I know. And when I was kind of working with Karen to create this opportunity, I knew from the beginning that it was going to be like a candy jar that I'm going to get none of.
That's funny. Well, let's do this. So while we're waiting for our next guest here and coming up next, well, you do have him lined up today. We have the host of Road to the Horse, a guy that everybody sees if they go there, that's for sure. But while we're waiting for him, why don't we take a break and we'll play our song of the day. And this will get you a little bit excited about it because we do have Stephanie Quayle today, who is your Road to the Horse singer. And today I'm going to play her song, Rodeo Life. This is to get everybody in the mood for bringing on Matt West, who is the host of Road to the Horse, coming up next.
She woke up and put her faded jeans on, staring out the window where those rusty barrels glistening in her field of dreams. She packed up the trailer with the saddle mama gave her, put in a quarter, his name was Savior, this is her time, we're gonna watch her shine. She started raising barrels when she was 10, was the same day they said her mom would never walk again. Now she's doing this for her, she's doing this for them, cause she says her mom one day will walk again. It's a long, long, long of his daddy winning. That belt buckle, he was a champion years in a row. He gave quite a show. Since his dad passed, he promised that he'd come home a winner while he didn't suffer with his family. He's heading up his house to sleep. He started roping cattle when he was 10. His daddy swinging low. He wanted to be just like him. Long, long road. It's a long, it's a long, long, long road. It's a long, long, long road. It's a long, long. The clowns in the corner, the bull riding men tonight. You got the cap rope and cowboy down from Wyoming. He's come here to change his life. Yeah, dreams are gonna happen tonight. Heartbreak is gonna happen tonight. Yeah, this is the rodeo life, the rodeo life.
Well, that's Stephanie, and that song is, of course, A Rodeo Life. Her name is Stephanie Quayle. You can find all of her music at stephaniequayle.com, or just search for Stephanie Quayle on iTunes, and you'll find it there as well. Well, Tammy, I'm not sure if I want to bring the next guest on, because he's going to have a much better voice than me, and I'm just going to have to hang my head in shame. Yes,
I know.
You do this to
like
me every show. Every show you bring these guys with great voice on, it makes me look silly.
I know. I'm excited. This Matt West is joining us. He is the official host of Road to the Horse, one of the faces up front and center of Road to the Horse, and kind of guides us on our journey at the event. So welcome, Matt. Good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you guys? And hey, don't worry. I'm fighting a cold and allergies. And it's rainy and stormy in Oklahoma.
And you still sound better than me.
It's getting me all kinds of sick, but we're getting through it. How are you guys?
We're great. I'm great.
Good.
Glenn's jealous of your announcer voice. Well, something he's always wanted.
Yeah, exactly. Never had it either.
It's funny because everybody always says, you know, hey, let me hear your announcer voice. And I'm like, okay, hey. I mean, there's nothing to do. I was born with it. So. So there it is.
Tell us a little bit about you and what you do when you are not at Road to the Horse. I know you have a really busy travel schedule all over the world. So tell us a little bit about you.
Yeah, I do about 50 events a year. I feel like I don't have any time at home. But, you know, I grew up in a little bitty town in Oklahoma. I still live here in the same little town of just a few hundred people. And love it. Wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. I kind of got thrown into announcing a little kids bull riding event, and it snowballed to where now the majority of my year is spent announcing professional bull riding events. With that, I do a handful of PRCA rodeos along with Road to the Horse and just a handful of other specialty events that I get out and have the opportunity to do.
You know, I got to say this, Tammy.
In a nutshell.
Tammy's ex-co-host on the Western radio show was Alan Moorhead, and you guys all seem to come out of a mold. And is there a professional announcer? Go ahead.
You can't say me and Alan came out of the same mold. Come on, man.
No, you're much better looking. But no, what I meant was...
okay, all right, I'll take that. Next day. I love Alan. He's a good dude. Me and Alan have the opportunity to work together.
But you all have a cadence to your voices, and there's a certain way of an announcer for a rodeo. I mean, there really is.
You know what? It's funny, because I got asked to kind of help with a little, I guess... I don't like saying announcer school because I don't think anybody can actually teach it. But I got asked to talk to a bunch of guys, and that was the biggest thing that I wanted to get across was everybody kind of has a natural cadence in their voice and everything, and there's so many guys that they get out there and they try to fake it and they change their voice and then they start saying words. Like no human on earth would ever say a word that way. So why do it on a microphone? I just don't understand it. So.
Mhm. So how did you get started, Matt? Were you rodeoing and someone said we need somebody? Because that seems to be the theme here.
Yeah, you know that wasn't the case with me. It was way different actually. My best friend growing up had rode bulls, so of course I was going a lot to rodeos and watching him. So I've been around it my whole life. My mom and my grandpa and you know, most of my family always roped, and we had horses and all that stuff. So it wasn't until I was in college that my college roommate decided to open his mouth to our neighbor who was putting on little kids' junior events. And he said, oh, man, me and Matt could have done a better job than the announcer you had. Well, at the time, and still even away from a microphone, I'm really shy, believe it or not. So
I don't believe that.
I looked at him and said, you're crazy. I'll never do that. You're never going to get me to talk in front of a group of people that big. Next thing I know, I was kind of drug into it, and I was doing it by myself because my roommate had found out that was going to happen, and he left the night before, the middle of the night, to go back to college. So after he opened his mouth, I got stuck doing the job that I never, ever, ever wanted to do. I did it. We got through it. The lady asked me to come back. I said, no, I'll never do this again as long as I live. She said, I'll pay you cash money. And I said, what time do you want me to be here? That's the shorter version of the story.
That's funny. And
that's one thing.
Well, yeah.
That's one thing that still speaks to all cowboys.
Yeah, it's crazy that, you know, I could be enticed to do something I never wanted to do just for a little bit of money, and now I wouldn't trade it for the world. I guess everything happens for a reason, huh?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Now, Road to the Horse is different because, you know, you're announcing at a rodeo, and you might be down in the ring or you're in the announcer booth. Here you are. It's a totally different event. And it is difficult. This has got to be a little more difficult, and I'm coming from the radio side of things where I have to, you know, talk to Phil Ayer too, is you've got hours that you're standing down there with Richard Winters to entertain. You're the ones that are really coordinating the entertainment side of the event down there. While all these trainers are in rings training horses, you guys have to make it interesting. And
you know what?
It is interesting. What's
Richard
that?
Winters. You already nailed it. Richard Winters is so good, and he's so knowledgeable. He's won Road to the Horse in the past, so that gives him a little insight and a little key to what every one of those clinicians is doing. And for me, you know, yeah, the technical aspects of it, finding cameras, watching what view is going to be on the screen so I know what everybody else is watching. But at the same time, just trying to kind of be the ringmaster and see all three or four pins working at the same time, and to be able to pick out those things to say, okay, Richard, hey, look at this, and then let him dive off into it. And while he's talking, you know, my head's constantly on a swivel at Road to the Horse because there is so much going on. It's such a unique experience, and there's so much talent in that arena that and even me just watching the judges, watching to see what they're seeing and trying to point out different things. But you nailed it. Richard Winters is the guy. I mean, he is just so, so good at what he does. And they surround me with some incredible talent. Casey Deardorff doing all the music. He stays clued in and kind of keeps a flow of the show going. We've got a guy named Richard Jones who is constantly in my earpiece pointing out different things that maybe I'm not seeing. So, there's a lot to it. My job
that's
is basically
hard, though.
Just kind of
you know, Matt, it, that's hard. I don't think people realize how hard that is. One, you're on stage. You're down there. You are the ringmaster. And by the way,
right.
who gives the first impression for every circus you've ever seen in your life as the ringmaster, the one you see first.
That's right.
And
that's
he's
right.
The one that really is the glue that holds it all together. And you are really, talk about multitasking. You have to be a good multitasker to do what you do because you have to be speaking at the same time somebody's talking your ear, which, by the way, is almost impossible.
Oh, my gosh.
And,
yeah, that's hard.
And then looking around at everything else going on and trying to keep your wits about you, that is not easy. Kudos to you, my friend.
It's funny because I actually have three or four conversations all going on at the same time because I have an earpiece, and in that earpiece, I also have a talkback mic, a lapel mic. And so I'm talking to Nikki Helton in the truck, the TV truck. I'm also talking to my production manager, Richard Jones, and Casey Deardorff. The whole time, plus carrying on a conversation with Richard Winters and trying to listen to what those guys tell me and listen to Richard. And, you know, it never fails being down on the arena floor. There's always somebody trying to talk to me in my other ear. So it's
I mess that up.
Yeah, there's a there's a lot to it, but it's totally worth it at the end of the day. And hopefully we can pull it off.
Were you the kid that had ADD in school that they wanted to give Ritalin to?
You know what? Honestly, I'm the exact opposite of that. I was the kid that just kind of hung out, did his work. Believe it or not, was a 4.0 student through most of my college experience. But
oh wow!
You know, then college turns into college. Yeah, I really was, and still can be, really quiet and reserved and shy and just kind of stay in the corner, away from everybody. Until you put a microphone in my hand, and then it's just crazy. We do
wow.
things that we never saw coming.
Well, you know, that's true of a lot of professional performers, actually, is when they get on stage, they are what they are. But when they're off stage, they're really quiet and unassuming and don't want to be. Johnny Carson was the ultimate example of that. He hated crowds. He hated parties. He hated being around people, except when the camera was on.
Right. Yeah. And it's funny. Me and my mom and dad actually go to Las Vegas with me every October because I go out there and work the PBR finals. And, you know, I've been doing this for about 10 years now, and it's still hard for them to believe that this is what I do. And it's funny to watch them talk to people because everybody, you know, talks about what I do and was I loud and obnoxious as a kid? And they were like, no, the exact opposite. You know, I never dreamed he'd be talking to crowds of people. He's way too shy, but it's worked out for the best, and it's been a pretty fun ride.
And you're fixing to make a global trip. Tell us a little bit about your trip you're fixing to make with the PBR overseas. Now, that sounds really exciting when you were telling me about it.
Yeah, I'll actually be heading over to Australia again for got three events in Australia, one event in New Zealand. So it'll be my first trip to New Zealand. I've been fortunate enough to go to Australia several times. So we're headed back over there in November, and be over there for a little over 3 weeks and doing some PBR events over there.
Great. Well, that's going to be exciting. Do you treat the international audience a little different? I mean, do you find their humor different? Because I know Australians are different.
You know,
coming from an Australian.
You said it, not me.
I'm Australian, so I can say it.
I know. At the end of the day, they asked me to come over, so apparently they asked me for a reason, so why would I change anything? Now, I will say, and I don't know if everybody's this way, once I get over there, it is extremely hard not to pick up on some of the terminology over there. Of course, you know, you start talking the way you hear people talk around you sometimes, but for the most part, it's me. I'm too planted in my Oklahoma roots to be able to change anything too much. So I'm a little low-key.
So you're not going to be saying mate every other word then when you come back?
No, I've got a couple of friends from Australia that have been over here in the States even before I made my first trip over there, and they've always been mate. It's just what we've always all called them. You know, they're mate. And that's about the extent of that word in my vocabulary. With my Oklahoma accent or hillbilly accent, whatever you want to call it, me saying good day, mate, just doesn't work. Yeah, I think it's pretty secret. I know, right?
It works for me, though.
Yeah. You pulled on, man, you have a tremendous fake Australian accent. I don't know how you do it.
Kind of a half Australian, half Texan. I'm kind of like an imported Australian that's lived in Texas for 10 years.
You poor girl. I love it. I love getting over there just because I can sit and I'm in my element. I don't have to talk. I can just listen to everybody else talk and enjoy it.
Well, everyone else wants to listen to you.
Do they run the rodeos a little different over there? Are they run a little different, or they run about the same way?
You know what? It's very similar to how we do our shows here in the States. The arenas we go to are kind of smaller, more intimate settings. You know, we're looking at 3,000 to 4,000 seat arenas for the most part. The biggest venue, well, we played Sydney back in July, and Sydney, it's Olympic Park. It's like a 20,000 seat arena, but You know, typically we play smaller venues over there, and you know, of course, they sell them out 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 seats a night. The arenas are just set up way different. But as far as the actual show, it's very similar to what we do here in the States. So it's pretty comfortable, and everybody over there is just so nice, so friendly, and it makes the trip really enjoyable.
And the girls aren't bad either, Matt, be honest. I mean, and I'm not just saying that because Tammy's on the phone, all right?
They're not bad anywhere. They're not bad.
Good answer, Matt. Good answer. There's a professional announcer for you right there.
Yeah.
Girl's a girl.
I might get into politics someday. Who knows?
That's funny.
You can find Matt at mattwestnow.com. That's mattwestnow.com, and you'll see his handsome mug there. And if you want to get a hold of him, if you're looking for an announcer for your show, wherever you are in the world, his contact information is right there. Thank you, Matt. We appreciate you joining us, and we'll see you in March.
Man, appreciate you guys. We'll see you soon.
All right.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Bye. I love announcers.
Yeah, I know.
They're such characters.
And he obviously knows how to not get himself in trouble. So I set
that
him up there.
That was a good answer. Yes.
It was.
Yeah.
I set him up.
Like
I wanted to see what he could do.
Horse. Yeah. That's
You're
funny.
Listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenda Geek here with Tammy Sarantz. And Coach Jen is in the producer chair. Of course, this show, episode every month, it is the first Thursday of every month, is our Road to the Horse episode, and we continue all the way through March when Road to the Horse happens. And tickets are available, right, Tammy?
Yes, it's roadtothehorse.com. So we are expecting to sell out. So tickets, if you're interested, you should jump online and grab them now.
And they can buy tickets for all the days or one of the days. Like, let's say they can only make it to the Saturday show at Lexington, Kentucky at the Alltech Arena. Or they can buy a package for all the days. Is that right?
Well, the tickets are good for all the days. So each ticket is valid for every day.
Okay, good. So when you have your seat, you have it for the weekend then.
Yes.
And there are not too many people that come in for a day. Most, I'd say, 90% of the audience comes in every day. So
yeah, it's something about Road to the Horse, Glenn. It just sucks you in, and you drink some Kool-Aid, and you are a forever fan.
Well, there is somebody that's coming up next that provides all the fantastic pictures that come out of Roads of the Horse. And let me tell you what, it is not easy to take a good picture with the lighting in that Alltech Arena. I don't know what it is, but it just kills photographs. So we can talk to Nick a little bit about that. But we have Nick Helton coming on, who's the director of photography for Road to the Horse. Good morning, Nick.
Hey, morning, guys.
Hi, Nick. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, you bet. My pleasure.
Appreciate you being here.
I know how busy you are.
Yeah, well, I would take my time to do this any day, so thanks for asking.
Thanks.
Where are you at right now? Are you off at a shoot someplace?
No, I took half the morning off so I could have this radio call, and I'm going to go about my day. But I'm in Lexington, so I'm getting ready to go work on a Governor's Mansion 100th Anniversary concert. So shot
cool.
it last weekend.
Wow.
And got to start editing the video over the course of the next month. So.
Well, that's a little different
cool.
than Road to the Horse.
yeah, no. Diversity. I'm all about diversity in television.
That's funny. You don't see too many tuxes at Road to the Horse.
I don't know. In the opening ceremonies, the past 2 years I've seen a tux, so.
That's true. So, Nick, tell us a little bit about you and what you do at Road to the Horse, because you are a very important part of the team. You're a director of film, and you actually are on staff all year, so we're interacting with you throughout the year for this event, so. Just tell us a little bit about what you do at Road to the Horse and what you've done in the past.
Sure. Not to correct my introduction, but it's not really a director of photography. I really don't have anything to do with any still photography that's taken. I basically run the the television video production that both goes on the big screen in the arena, and we record everything. And I take that into post-production and edit, and that eventually becomes the DVD of the event that goes up for sale about a month or two after the event's over. It takes me about that long to get it finished. But you know, I work with a production truck company out of Nashville, T&DV, and they provide a production truck that drives up to Lexington and parks. We run six cameras in the arena during the production. All those cameras are sent back via fiber cable line to the production truck. So it's what's referred to as a live multi-camera event. So we have six cameras covering the event. We go through two different configurations with those cameras. Because of the nature of how the event changes. So during opening ceremonies, our cameras are set up in one configuration, and then when we switch over to the round pin competition, it changes because we put a camera at each pin that's designated to that competitor and that horse. So that's always an interesting moment during the show when the round pins are being built and we're all rushing to move cameras around. A lot of fun. So that happened several times through the event, but getting all that stuff coordinated up to the launch of the event is always interesting. It was really interesting the first year, and then it gets a little easier since we've been through it. But during the actual live event, I sit inside the production truck and I can see all the cameras, and I basically direct a line cut of the event. So I'm watching the cameras, and I'm the guy that sits in there and says, take one, take four, take six, and do that nonstop throughout the course of the 3 or 4 days. And so I take the actual line cut that I've called, and that becomes sort of my foundation for the final edit. We also record each camera separately onto a hard drive. And I bring all that footage back. So if there's something I didn't like or something I didn't cut to exactly this right moment or miss something, I can pull that footage and I can plug it in to make the production look as good as I can possibly make it.
That sounds exhausting.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, the guys on the crew laugh at me every day because right before we start production, I chug a 5-hour energy and then I'm ready to go.
Oh my
you know,
gosh.
That's just, this video thing is just way too much work. That's why we do audio. And you know, we've been asked about doing video, and I said, hell no. I hate editing audio. Video's just 10 times worse. God bless you for doing that. Yeah. Oh. You have to have more patience than I do. My ADD kicks in and, you know, all of a sudden I'm like, just put whatever in there. And you have to, but the thing is, you have to have the ability to sit through, when you're doing post-production on the DVD and stuff, you have to sit through hours and hours and hours of footage to find that one shot that you want, and then you got to do it all over again. It's just incredible.
Yeah, the way technology has changed, I guess, in the past decade, it makes it so much easier now. I couldn't imagine having to edit this event the old way, which would be called A-B editing, where you would essentially have to go through each reel. So now every camera, everything we record at the same time, it gets burned onto the file, something called time code. So each camera, I can see its time code, and we use the time of day. So that when I when something happens at, you know, 4:45 p.m., I can instantly go to that point in any of the footage to find it. And then on top of that, the editing system I use at home is called Avid, and they have a function called multi-camera view. And I basically I can see all six cameras at the same time rolling through the footage. So as I'm watching it, I could see something like, oh – I missed that. That camera guy had a much better angle for that moment. All I have to do is stop, back up, and then cut to that camera in the editing process. It's almost like looking at it in the editing application, looking at it the way I look at it inside the production truck. I can see everything going at the same time. So that is a huge
help.
What
was that program, Nick, you said?
It's called Avid, A-V-I-D. It's kind of the film standard editing program.
Wow, that sounds amazing.
It's the same company that makes the audio tool, Pro Tools.
Oh, yeah, yep.
It's just the video side.
You make it sound
so
good.
Technical and boring.
No, but you know what? Everybody is an amateur photographer, and everybody now is becoming an amateur videographer because of phones. So I think people are interested because everybody's making their own little videos and stuff now, where that didn't happen 10 years ago.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and every great DSLR camera shoots amazing HD video now. So you can shoot pro video on your still camera.
I mean, I'm always amazed at the video off of phones. So, you know, sometimes you see these phones, and they just have – that video we would not have gotten with a $3,000 camera 5 years ago.
Oh, no way. No way.
Yeah.
The only thing that's lagging behind on this DSLR and phone, smartphone video is the audio, really. You're kind of stuck with that one little speaker and
– Yep. You're right. Then that one little microphone that is 20 feet away from the person.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you're right about that. Yeah, interesting. Well, Nick, how many gigs a year do you do?
How many what?
How many events do you do every year?
It's hard to say. I kind of have about three roles in TV production. My day job is a producer-director at the PBS affiliate for the state of Kentucky. We're actually one of the biggest PBS affiliates in the country just because of our reach. We reach the entire state plus the seven surrounding states. So that's my, you know, full-time job.
Day job.
My day job. Yeah.
Wow.
And most of that is doing music production. We have the main show I work on is a show called Jubilee, and it's primarily – I don't know, it's considered Americana music, but our audience base is, over the years has sort of become bluegrass because we have tended to cover more bluegrass festivals over the years. So that's really what they look to the show as, although we still go out and do blues festivals and newgrass and different things. But basically the festival works is we go out once a year to a festival somewhere in the state. Sometimes out. We went to Nashville a few years ago for a festival, but we go in, production truck sets up, we run about seven cameras, and the same thing, it's like long 10, 12-hour days, and we basically record every band that comes on stage. I do a line cut, record all the cameras, and then bring it home, and over the course of the next year, edit as many hour-long episodes as I can get, which is usually... I don't know, anywhere from 10 to 20, just depending on how many bands appeared at the festival. And, of course, all that goes through audio post-production, which takes forever. But yeah, it's a pretty popular series. We actually syndicate it across the country through NEDA, which is the National Educational Television Association. So this show goes to about 50 to 60 markets in the U.S., so it's got a pretty good reach. So if you like bluegrass music, check your local PBS affiliates. You might be on somewhere. But then besides, you know, and then we do other things. Like I mentioned earlier on, we just did a kind of an opera concert for a 100th anniversary of our governor's mansion, which was pretty cool, University of Kentucky School of Opera and most of their music department, quite frankly, was involved in putting on a production. And we ran 11 cameras on that show. And same thing, set, cut a line cut, and then we'll take all the footage in and make an hour-long show out of that that airs in November.
Okay, then, you just went from two opposite ends of the musical world, from bluegrass to opera. You have, and you know, you have crossed the spectrum right there. You can't get any more far apart.
Absolutely, it's great. It's really awesome because it's, you know, I mean, I'm really very fortunate for this job. I love television production. I just love the behind the scenes stuff, and I love music. You know, I've played guitar all my whole life, so I've always been involved in music and playing in bands. And then I love concert film productions. I love watching music on television. It's just if you get the Palladia channel, it's the greatest channel that I've ever discovered because it's basically concerts 24 hours a day. So I watch that as reference to, like, oh, I like what they're doing there. So anything that's televised music is, I think, is just fascinating. I love to watch how different people approach it different ways. And, you know, it's like there's no right way to do it. There's just a wrong way. You see something bad, you're like, yeah, that's bad. But you're like, oh, that's a different approach. It looks really cool.
Can you ever watch TV and relax, or are you always critiquing TV?
Always. I can't. You know, what's worse, my friends watch TV with me. They're like, shut up. You know, just watch the game or whatever. It's worse because, like, the third thing I'm involved in, I do a lot of just standard sports production. So I either direct or run camera for, you know, college basketball, football, you know, various other things. So in this part of the country, college basketball rules the world. So because we have two of the more prominent teams in the country in this state an hour apart from each other. So all, you know, all my friends get together to watch basketball. And if I'm not actually at the game working, which 80% of the time I am, I'm watching the game and I'm criticizing the production. And I'll say stuff like, oh man, you know, that was a sweet rollout and they capped it. They're like, what are you talking about?
Like, what about the game?
Yeah. I mean, seriously, I'll watch a game and I'll catch myself. I won't know what the score is. I won't be paying attention, even watching at home.
That's funny.
Count. One of the first things I'll do when I watch something that's live multi-camera is try to count the cameras and try to see how many they have. I start watching the angles they take throughout the course of 10 minutes, and I can figure out how big the production is, how many cameras they had.
So that invite you to the football party or the sports party on the weekend?
Oh, yeah. I mean, and I'm like, everybody shut up. You know, we're trying to – I'm going to bust it, you know.
Well, that's when you know you're doing the right thing, Nick. So you're at the right spot at Road to the Horse. And so
Road to the Horse. Yeah, you bet. It was my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. And we kind of learned a little bit more about what goes on behind the scenes and what a huge job you have on your hands. So we thank you for your work and your talent and can't wait to see you in March.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be an interesting year.
Super. Yeah, thank you. So, do you have a website for your production, or you just work on your shows?
I don't, unfortunately. So maybe one day I'll take the time to actually form a production company.
In the meantime, just stay busy.
Thanks, Nick.
Well, thanks, Nick. It's been a pleasure.
Okay.
Well, that was interesting. I love today to get a little bit behind the scenes of how it all works, and I think other people are always fascinated by that, too. There's just so many moving parts to a production this large in front of 8,000 to 10,000 people, you know, that happens over such a long period of time. As he said, you know, most of the time you're looking at 2 hours. You know, that's how long a concert lasts. That's how long a play lasts. That's how long a show lasts. That's how long a rodeo lasts. And here you got four days.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the one thing that comes to my mind when we talk to all the guests we have today, they are so passionate about what they do. And I think that's what makes this group so good, because everyone's doing what they love. And you're going to be good if you're doing what you like to do.
That's exactly right. Well, Tammy, thank you for setting this all up. It's been good to talk to you again. And good luck on the road here over the next month. Now, is there a season for mounted shooting? Does it end soon, or...?
Oh, I hope so. I'm tired. Yes, we're wrapping this up in a couple of weeks, and then I get to stay home for a little bit, so I'm excited.
Well, and we want to remind everybody, if you want tickets for Road to the Horse, go to roadtothehorse.com. That's where you'll find all the details. They also have resources on there about where to get hotels and, you know, just everything, travel, everything that you want to find is on there. But you do want to get your tickets. It does sell out. And I think that next year is even going to be bigger than this past year. So you want to get them early. Don't wait to get your tickets. And don't wait to get your hotel booked. That's something you want to do as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because when you bring an extra 10,000 people into Lexington, it does fill up the hotels.
Yes.
So just do that as well. And it always seems like there's always something else going on at the same time in Lexington
as
well.
Well, that's what I was just thinking. Yeah, I'm like, I don't know if there's anything else going on at the same time, but I bet there is. So, yeah, you got to get in early, but it's going to be a great show.
And, you know, that time of year, it's the end of March. The weather has broke in Lexington. You're not in an ice storm anymore. It's actually beautiful. That's the best time to be there is in the spring. And it just is absolutely beautiful. So check it out. You can spend a day if you haven't been to the horse park yet. Spend a day, you know, doing the tours of the horse park and the horse museum and everything that goes on there. You can do that at the same time. Take a tour of the farms. There's all kinds of bus tours that go around the farms. Jennifer and I lived in Lexington, and we did the bus tours that went around the farms. The race farms and things. Yeah, go out to Keeneland.
I
want to
do
that.
You
know, it is fun. It is fun because they actually take you in, and you know, you get to hear the stories behind all of the pretty farms that you see as you're driving around. Go to Keeneland for a day. You know, spend a day or morning just looking around Keeneland. That's one of the prettiest racetracks in the world. Really is.
Oh, you got to go on Saturday morning for breakfast at Keeneland.
Yeah, if they're training.
That's so
cool. Yeah, or if they're racing at that time. I don't think they are at that time, but yeah, if you're there when the race meet is on, they have breakfast at Keeneland. You go in early in the morning when the sun's coming up and watch them on the track training the horses while you eat breakfast.
That's so cool.
It is neat.
Lots of fun things to do in Lexington.
Yes, and including roadtothehorse.com. Thank you, Tammy, and we'll talk to everybody tomorrow morning. Jamie and I will be here. We're here every morning at 9 a.m. Eastern. We'll be back tomorrow. It's Really Bad Ads Day, everybody's favorite. So we'll be doing that tomorrow morning as well. Talk to you next month, Tammy.
Bye, guys.